translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shaunaka Rishi inquired, why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish him, since he was the lowest of sudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow with his leg? Please describe how all these incidents, if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. Purport. Shaunaka and the rishis were astonished to hear how the pious Maharaj Parikshit simply punished the culprit and did not kill him. This suggests that a pious king like Maharaj Parikshit should have at once killed an offender who wanted to cheat the public by dressing like a king and at the same time daring to insult the purest of the animals, like a cow. The rishis in those days, however, could not imagine that in the advanced days of Kali, the lowest of sudras will be elected as administrators and will open organized slaughterhouses for killing cows. Anyway, although hearing about the Sudraka, who was a cheater and an insulter of a cow, was not really interesting to the great rishis, but nevertheless wanted to hear about, to see if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. They were simply interested in the topics of Lord Krishna, for anything that is dovetailed in the narration of Lord Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in the Bhagavatam about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. But all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters, regardless what they are. In the mundane world, everything is impure due to being a product of the three mundane qualities. The purifying agent, however, is Krishna. Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born in the dark ignorance of my spiritual master, but my eyes are taught the transcendental knowledge. So, in this purport, it is, of course, talking about how Kali is attacked Dharma, the bull, and and of course, the last leg, you know, all these legs of the bulls, of the bull, represent four aspects of Dharma. And so, therefore, Kali Yuga is actually attacking the Dharma of the Dharma of the age, for this age, because the age we're living in is full of hypocrisy, deceitfulness, and many what. In other words, it's what is against religion is taken as as religion. Even today we can see that the last leg of the Dharma, the bull Dharma was truthfulness. So even truthfulness is being attacked now. But in this age, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, if we simply see this related or dovetailed in narration about Krishna, it is worth hearing. So it says here, many topics in the Bhagavatam, sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. They're all there. But also Prabhupada says all of them are in relationship with Krishna. So if we study the Bhagavatam, we can see some examples of this. We can see the politics between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and the sociology where Krishna, he is dealing nicely according to what relation he has with the Kuru dynasty, with the dynasty when he greeted his relatives, he greeted them according to the uncles, the nephews, the aunties, like this. He greeted them differently in Dwarka. And also, there's also politics, just like the politics is in this material world. We see the politics is headed generally by, as Prabhupada said, by sutras who will be elected as administrators. So we can see this through even today's modern day politicians. None of them are really qualified to lead a country. And of course, but there is actual politics in the spiritual world as well. Because it says in Jiva Dharma, in the end section, Vijay Kumar asked Gopal Guru in Jagannath Puri, because he's explaining about the different groups of gopis in Vrindavan. And he says, yes, there is politics there amongst them. And he said, how can we understand the politics between the different groups of gopis? And he said, because in the material world, he says, the politicians, they're out for themselves, just want to make some profit, material profit. But the politics in the spiritual world, but in Vrindavan, their only interest is to see Krishna happy. That's the politics in the spiritual world, to see Krishna happy. And the interactions between the different groups in Vrindavan, like the difference with the action between the right wing gopis of Chandravali, and the left-wing gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. They seem to be at loggerheads. They seem to be making sarcastic remarks at each other like this. But this is just to intensify the Leela, to bring Radha and Krishna together. And when they are together, both parties are very happy, both parties. Chandravali is very happy when she sees Radharani with Krishna. And even though, if you read some of the Acharya's commentary, she seems very bitter, sarcastic, and things like this. But in the end, she's very happy that because she knows that Krishna loves Radharani more than her. So politics is there, but in the material world, it's just for our own material gain. But this Kali Yuga, in Kali Yuga, generally it say it's a bad age to live in. But in this Kali Yuga we're living in, it's a special Kali Yuga. It's a Maha Kali Yuga, because this Kali Yuga, Krishna has appeared in the form of Lord Caitanya. So it says in the 11th canto, verse 5, No, sorry, chapter 5, verse 36. Kalim saha janta yanti araya guna jana saha sara bhagyagina yatra sinkantena yanyeva saria savetyato bahidra jajate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of the age of Kali. Such enlightened persons praise Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by performing once of Sankirtan. So this is the age. Of course, this is talking about the advanced devotee. And this advanced devotee is, we know there's three levels of devotees. Kanista, Madhyama, and Uttam. So this is obviously talking, this purport is talking about the Uttam devotee, who can actually, because the Uttam devotee, he sees everything totally spiritual. He doesn't see anything mundane. He sees all living entities as pure devotees. And so therefore, this is also this Uttam devotee, he doesn't see anything mundane, he doesn't see anything material, he sees totally everything is spiritual, and therefore he sees also this Kali, he sees Kali Yuga as spiritual. Because in this Kali Yuga, Krishna came, as we know, as Lord Caitanya, to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga in this age. So anyone who was born in this age, on this planet, in this Kali Yuga, will be given the chance to perform Sankirtan, will be given the chance to be part of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Caitanya. Even if somebody says Krishna once and says it purely, therefore living entity has started. If he says it purely, even once that devotee or that living entity has started his devotional service, let alone anybody who says Hare Krishna mockingly. And so therefore, the Sankirtan movement of Krishna, also Sankirtan, was also there in Vrindavan. If one reads the 31st chapter of the 10th canto, the Song of Separation, from Krishna's of the gopis feeling for separation from Krishna, that is also Sankirtan, because the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan are the best Sankirtan devotees, because they are continually glorifying Krishna. Because the word Sankirtan means to glorify Krishna. Means to glorify Krishna and his pastimes, Krishna, in all aspects. This is the word Sankirtan means. And so therefore, the best Sankirtan devotees will always be the gopis, old residents of Vrindavan, because they're always glorifying Krishna. So therefore, we have to follow in their footsteps. So, because it's Kali Yuga, also, again, it's for the advanced devotee, but for those who are not so advanced, Krishna Krishna descends in the form of the pure devotee, as he descended in the form of Lord Caitanya, to show us bhakti and to show us the way to get out of this Kali Yuga for those who are not so advanced. Because also says in Jiva Dharma, it describes that every living entity in its conditional state is the conditional state of the living entity is part of the eternal Leela with Krishna. So this cycle, in other words, this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease we are in now, I'm in now. I'm not saying about you, but I'm sure you're not. It is part of the cycle of the cycle is that this is my eternal Leela with Krishna. Then the question is asked, how can the living entity get out of that cycle? And he said, simply by associating with a sadhu or pure devotee. by the association of a sadhu, taking sadhu sangha, one can break that cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. And therefore, by sadhu sangha, then we actually hear these narrations of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Krishna. And all we have to do is when we have enough faith in the sadhu, the guru, Sri Guru, the sadhu, all we have to do, because this is the mercy of Krishna in Kali Yuga, is the sadhu. He's the mercy personification for the fallen conditioned soul. Just by hearing and having full faith in him, we can get out of this material world. It's described very nicely that Krishna in the spiritual world, he comes, he sends his pure representative. And to the material world, that pure representative, he sees this material world like a deep, dark well. Then that pure representative, Krishna, as I said, Krishna, he sends that the from the spiritual world, the creeper of mercy. From the spiritual world. And the sadhu, he's lowering down that creeper of mercy down to the well, bottom of the well. And all we have to do, or I have to do, is just hold on to that creeper of mercy. Nothing else. Just hold on to it. Whatever the sadhu says, whatever he instructs, we just hold on to that creeper, mercy, and then the sadhu will pull us up from the well. Some years ago, as a small boy, we had some relations. My father's sisters lived down Cornwall, and one of them lived in a very derelict area. Not derelict, but it was full of derelict old Cornish tin mines. So sometimes you're walking along, they're all filled in, but they are only partially filled in. So over the years, they get covered with brambles and bushes. So one day, my uncle, my father, and my brother and sister were taking their dogs for a walk in this area. And my father, he strayed. He was warned, keep to the path. But somehow he strayed and he fell 15 foot down a disused mine shaft. And fortunately it was a soft landing, so therefore, the uncle told me to go back to the house and get a piece of, he said in the garage, there's a long piece of rope in the garage, bring that. So then we tried it, we tied that rope to a solid object, and then we pulled them out. So similarly, the spiritual master, he does that. You know, he would say, "My father's." He was not hurt. He wasn't hurt, looking back at that, I could see this is the same. The spiritual master, he pulls us out of the material world, and to get out of that hole, my father just had to hold onto that rope. So similarly, the spiritual master is lowering us down the rope, so we have to hold onto it. And therefore, so Krishna has given us this human form of life, and it is. So, another definition of the mercy of Krishna, which is also linked up with what I've given, is a question and an answer by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur from one of his Harmonist magazines. Journals. The question, by what means can one receive the complete mercy of Krishna? Answer. When Sri Vrishabhanu Navi Devi, Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, accepts someone as her own, as a Rupa Nuga, or one of the followers of Rupa Goswami, then only is the full mercy of Krishna accessible to them. He can only attain this fortune if he becomes a kinkara, which means a male servant, or servant of Sri Guru, who is himself the best of the followers of Sri Rupa Goswami. It is also thus necessary for each and every one of us to become Trinadapijana, more humble than a blade of grass, to become Trinadapijana, we shall have to forsake one's present identity, qualities, and possessions, and identify ourselves as the servant or kinkara of Sri Guru and Srinam. So when my father was down the bottom of that 15-foot drop. My father was sometimes a very proud person. But when he was 15 foot down, he was very humble. He said, "Get me out of here." You know. So then I said, I was sent back to get the rope, and then after that, for a couple of weeks, he was a humble. He was very humble. But after a couple of weeks, he went back to his normal self. but at least for time being, he was humbled. And so we have to be also humble. That, and Humble means when, also it means that when we think of ourselves, we think of, you know, okay, it's when people criticize us or say something bad about us, we take it. We don't feel, you know, we don't feel insulted. We said so. There's one. I was reading the other day of one of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and one of the also another one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was criticizing him. And he's saying, oh, this Maharaj, he's just a kanista. He's just a kanista. He's just into archana. He's just into deity worship. And so then, when he heard this through one of his disciples, he said, his reply was, oh, that devotee has elevated me to a kanista? And then later, and the second half of being humble means, if one sees a devotee being assaulted, insulted or assaulted, one immediately defends that devotee. So again, this two of the Prabhupada's godbrothers were in Calcutta, and they arrived at Hara station to get a taxi to the mat. And in those days, the taxi also had a meter. So they paid by the meter, and so they both jumped in the taxi, told him where to go, and said, Maharajis, I want 10 rupees on top of the meter charge. And one of them, he said, no. And he said, I'm paying according to the meter. So they both, the taxi drove off. They got to where they were going to, and the driver demanded 10 rupees above what it should have been, that should have been on the meter. And that Maharaj, he just walked off. And then the other one, then the taxi driver started to blaspheme the other Maharaj. He said, this Maharaj is like this, he's like that. And then the same Maharaj as I described earlier, he got angry because he was blaspheming his godbrother. So being humble doesn't mean just for ourselves, we just take whatever comes. If it's true or not, it doesn't matter. It's like Bhaktivedanta Sri Thakur. When he was preaching, started preaching, so many smarter brahmanas were actually criticizing him. And one article, and in one local paper, there's an article criticizing the mutt and his preaching. And like this. So then, this is reported and shown to Bhaktivedanta Sri Thakur. He says, this is very nice. See, because people, he said, why? Because people will read this from the, they will buy the paper and they will read the paper and they will come to us. Even Prabhupada, he said this one time. There was a certain situation. There was some bad press in the paper, and Prabhupada, he said, it's okay. As soon as the general public read it, they will come. Bad press is good press sometimes. If it's connected with Krishna, then Krishna, the purifying agent, Krishna is the purifying agent. So Krishna will purify us and then once we've been purified, as it says in that sloka from the 11th canto, we can attain perfection and go to enter Lord Caitanya's Sangatan movement in the spirit in Svetadweep, in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Any questions or challenges? Whatever it is you want to do. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that story about the Maharajis in the taxi.
Yeah.
So what did the other Maharaj do? He chastised the taxi driver? Or what?
No. He didn't want to pay the extra 10 rupees. Just pay the according to the meter. He just walked off. He paid what was on the meter. And that's it. And then the taxi driver blasphemed him. No, the one who wouldn't pay the extra 10 rupees. The taxi driver. The taxi driver, for blaspheming him. Yes, please, Roger.
There was a couple of occasions when... it was in Vrindavan. I was with some brahmacharis over there with Kripa Moya, and the similar thing happened to me with rickshaw wallet driver. He wanted more money, and I said no, and he started to get abusive, and. Deva Prasthu was looking after us. He was the brahmachari at the time. He said, just pay him his money. Just pay it. Don't argue. Don't get angry. So I did as he said, actually. After he says, just realize that you're in the Dham, you're in Vrindavan. Don't do it. Be careful. Mm. You have to be very careful.
Yeah.
And the other time was with Mother Kalangana. Wonderful experience in Mayapur. She was being cheated for the amount of money that she had been giving for milk. They charged her extra. And so they said, the people she was staying with said, no, we'll have to get this person, and he's got to give the money back. And she said, no, don't do it. What's a few rupees to me? These people are poor. So she didn't take that. She had another viewpoint. She said she had another dimension that maybe they needed it. that actually it didn't matter whether she was cheated. It wasn't the issue with her. That she saw that somehow or other this person, by Krishna's arrangement, was getting extra money for her. And so it was that was humility, actually. That was real humility.
Also, yeah. Also, there's another story, Srinivasana's. There was one very nice Mataji here, Mother Kirtida. Now, she was initiated by Tamakrishna Maharaj. So, one year, she went to Vrindavan to buy outfits, Lakshmi, you know, for the deities. And, if I'm rightly, the Chokidar stole the money. Is that right? Or someone stole the money. Yeah, thief. Someone stole the money. Yeah, someone stole the money. And then she, instead of calling the police and things like that, she said, no. She said, that person must have needed the money to steal it. Then I'll just pay for the outfits out of my own pocket. Later, that money, the person who stole the money returned the money.
Tamil president, he was going to beat the chokidars, you know, thinking they may have stolen the money. But she said, no. I'm going to feed everyone in Vrindavan prasad. That thief realized that actually I'm offending an advanced devotee here. If I take that money, I'm going to get a reaction. So he can't put the money back because of her humility. He felt she. The thief felt like, I'm going to offend someone like this, I'm going to get a big reaction. So he can put the money back. Yeah.
And also was one devotee here. He used to be here. He came back when he had an episode like this, similar thing, of being cheated. So he went down to Loy Bazaar to, what's his name now? That big shop where they sell the dhotis and kurtas. Forget now. Yeah, Ganga Prasad, yeah. So that's the one. So he's telling me he came back where he got his stuff he wanted. And he came back very happy, he said. So one devotee said, "Why are you happy for?" He said, "That Ganga Prasad, he was overcharging me." He said, "I knew the proper price of the dhotis. But he charged me 6,000 rupees over the top. And I beat him down to the proper price. You know, I argued with him." And one devotee said, "You should go back immediately and apologize to him because he's a Brijbasi. Even though he may have cheated you, That doesn't matter because he's a Brijbasi, one should not argue. You'll get a reaction for it." So he went down, and Ganga Prasad apparently was sitting there, apparently cross-legged, reading his paper. He said, "Prabhu, I've come to pay obeisances to you, and I'm sorry I argued with you." He said, "That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter." And then he offered to pay back the 6,000 rupees. He said, no, you keep the 6,000 rupees. So if one is like that, this is what being humble is. Hare Krishna.
Would you say, thank you very much for your class, would you say that when we get cheated like that, is it a listening sometimes for us from Krishna, because sometimes we hold on to things, and would you say that there's a lesson?
Yes.
And can you share?
The cheater is the cheated and the cheated. In some past, In the past, we've cheated Krishna. So Krishna, this lifetime, Krishna's cheating us. Doesn't it say in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, amongst the cheat, it said, I'm the chief of the the best of the cheaters. So if we cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat us, yes. But Krishna's cheating is his mercy. It's not the material cheating. Krishna's cheating is his mercy. Understand?
So that's okay. So you've done something. So you're paying for it.
Yeah, you're paying.
But couldn't it also be that Krishna wants you to be more liberal with what you have? So he might teach you a lesson how to. So he might get it off you by some means.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Somehow, yeah. Krishna can do whatever he wants. He's got any means. Got so many means of taking things from you.
He's
the biggest thief, so he can steal any way he wants.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Jesus also said that, if they want it, they take it, let them have it.
Yeah.
It was like that.
They said, Krishna's the biggest thief. He can steal whatever he wants. So if Krishna wants to steal from you, that's it. Take it. Like one time, says in here, I read about possessions. One time, it was Chaitanya Maharaj was giving class here, some years back, and what's it, what stairs or up here, down here, I forget now. It was upstairs in the darshan room. And he had his, at that time, the latest state of the latest state of the art of the computer, laptop. And someone asked him, I forget it was, about using laptops in Krishna's service, he says. And he said, if I didn't need this computer, I would throw out the window right now. Literally. He said, I would throw out the but because I need it for my service, I throw this computer out the window right now. So this is, he's very detached like that, J.J. Vedamana, very, very detached. Pastor Stapa probably knows, after serving him. So, this is, we have to lose interest in our possessions in that verse, as I quoted, and like that. We just assume that we have to see them, engage them in Krishna's service, especially in this, this particular time we're in now. We can't go out preaching, but there's more preaching being done now. There's more preaching being done now by the internet. More preaching. A lot more preaching is going on now. All over the planet, more preaching is going on now. A lot more than previously before when we were going out door to door. But now there's a lot more preaching going on. Now, there's classes on the internet. There's so much. But so the preaching is even increased due to this. This is my realization. That this virus is also a friend. It's helping the preaching. Because people are listening more now. Through the internet.